Going back up the route was much easier than coming down it. The current was with them. They emerged in the succession pool under orange Yavin light. On the way up, Anakin had noticed an interesting thing. Vuarapung existed for him now. Not in the Force, not with the clarity that the Force offered, but he was there, cast from the lambent to Anakin's mind. With Rapung, Anakin slipped into the shadows. The Shaper compound was an eight-armed star with the pool in the center. The corridor they entered took them up one of the arms. Anakin tensed as they met their first Yuuzhan Vong. A cluster of them stood together, discussing something he couldn't quite catch. When they saw Rapung and Anakin, they stopped and stared, but didn't say anything. "This is easier than I thought it would be," Anakin said after they were past the group. Rapung grunted. "I would have killed them if I thought it would help, but they sent the signal the instant they saw us."
"What are you talking about?"
"A shamed one and a slave in a Shaper compound? Unlikely."
"But they didn't..."
"Scream? Run? Shapers they may be, but they are Yuuzhan Vong. If we came to kill them, they would be dead. They know that."
"So what do we expect now?"
But Rapung didn't have to answer. Ahead of them, the walls, floor, and ceiling of the corridors suddenly met one another. "Whoops," Anakin managed. A quick look behind him showed the same thing. "We have seconds," Rapung said. "Do not inhale." Anakin nodded and ignited his lightsaber. The fierce purple light highlighted the mist emerging from the corridor walls. Anakin approached the obstruction and cut into it with broad strokes, carving a hole large enough to step through. Beyond, the corridor continued another 4 meters and ended in another dilation. This section was already full of mist. Anakin cut through that, too, but his lungs were starting to hurt now, and black spots danced before his eyes. So, rather than attacking the inevitable barrier that had closed beyond the second one, he cut through the wall to his right. That spilled the two into a large chamber where they startled 2 Yuuzhan Vong. Rapung stabbed a finger at the 2 Shapers. "One of you, take me to the personal laboratories of Master Meijian Quad." The shorter of the 2 frowned. "You're a shamed one." Rapung reached him in 2 strides and struck him high in the chest, lifting the Shaper from his feet and slamming him into the wall. He slumped to the floor, blood spilling from his lips. "You," Rapung said to the other, "lead us to Meijian Quad." The second Shaper looked at his unconscious companion. "Come with me," he said. The Shaper took them through a quick series of turns and then into a long, straight corridor that ended in one of the membranes that normally served as doors. "Through there is the Master's personal chambers," their captive said. "But the threshold will not open itself to any of us." "That is why I have a Jedi with me," Rapung told him as Anakin cut through the door.
"This is the place," Anakin said. "This is where they had her."
His gaze searched wildly about the room. It didn't resemble a laboratory so much as a vivisectorium, each surface covered with internal organs, except some of these pulsed and mewled the way severed body parts didn't. A quarter of the chamber was walled off by a transparent membrane. "She was in there," he clarified. "Where would they have gone?"
"I don't see any other way out," Rapung replied.
"Well, then..." But before he could finish, he sensed something at his back. Another section of the wall had just gone transparent and permeable. 12 Yuuzhan Vong warriors poured through it. Behind them, Anakin could make out the yellow of Tahiri's hair.
"Tahiri!"
he shouted, and threw himself at the wave of enemies. Vuarapung howled like a crate dragon. Anakin and his companion were soon forced back toward the vivarium by 6 warriors who had engaged them. The other 6, one of whom was vastly more scarred than the rest, probably a leader, led Tahiri and what appeared to be 2 female Shapers back out the door Anakin and Rapung had entered through.
"No!"
Anakin exploded. He tried to leap over the warriors blocking his way, but one snagged his ankle with the Ampha staff and used the momentum of his leap to slam him into the floor. Anakin cushioned the fall with the Force, but his enemy was still between him and the door, and his foot was still caught. That is, until Rapung hit the fellow on the back of the head so hard that teeth flew out. Rapung stood over Anakin, and for a moment, they weren't under attack. The warriors merely stood there, watching the shamed one and Anakin warily.
Fua Rapung, one of them snarled finally. What are you doing here with this infidel? You should be in the Shaper Village, pursuing your redemption.
I have nothing to be redeemed for, Rapung said. I have been wronged. You all know it.
We know your claims.
You, Tolok Nap, Vua Rapung said. You fought beside me only a few tens of cycles ago. You believe me cursed by the gods?
The warrior he had addressed flared his nostrils, but did not reply. The one who had spoken before, however, lowered his voice.
Whatever you were, whether you are cursed or not, you have clearly gone mad. You fight with an infidel against your own kind.
I seek my vengeance, Rapung said. Meishan Quad, where is she going?
The Shaper Master has been taken up for her trials. The accusation is heresy.
I cannot let her be taken, not until she admits she has wronged me. Any who stand in the way of that will leave this life on wings of blood.
We will stop you, Tolok Nap said. But we will fight you as the warrior you once were.
He threw Rapung his Ampha staff.
Take up a weapon. Do not make us kill a bare-handed man.
Rapung turned a glaring eye on Anakin.
Stand away, Jedi.
Rapung, I have no time for games. Tahiri
is with the object of my vengeance. If we lose the one, we lose the other. I will make it swift.
Anakin stared at Rapung, then nodded curtly. He stepped back and switched off his lightsaber. Mere seconds later, stepping over the corpses, Anakin glanced sidewise at Rapung.
What was it you needed me for? He asked. I'm forgetting.
They jogged down the corridor, gazes cutting right and left, alert for ambush from side corridors.
When we have Meishan Quad, Rapung said, you must keep death from my back until I have forced her to speak. That is why I need you.
I can do that.
Swear it, by this force you worship. Keep death from my back until she speaks. For no less a time, and no longer.
I swear it, Anakin replied. If we ever get that close, that is. How long before reinforcements arrive?
Not long.
Then we're going about this all wrong. We're just going to run into whatever ambush they have planned. We need a little change in tactics.
Explain.
Anakin raised his lightsaber and sliced a hole in the low ceiling. Do you need a boost up? He asked. Moments later, from the roof of the compound, Anakin and Vua Rapung watched warriors station themselves at the ground-level exits and entrances. Anakin reached out through the Force, searching for Tahiri. She was there, but her presence was still fitful, hard to pinpoint.
Tahiri, hear me. I must find you.
The response was rejection.
Tahiri, you know me. You're my best friend. Please.
This time, he caught a faint hesitation, and then something like a step in his direction. He saw a brief vision of coral skippers and larger Yuuzhan Vong ships.
Sith spawn, he exclaimed.
They're going to board a ship.
Rapung growled deep in his throat.
No, they are not, he said. This way.
They leapt down to the outside of the compound, between the rays, far from any entrances, and slipped past the most lightly guarded exit, apparently without being noticed. Another 100 meters brought them to the ship compound. When they were yet 20 meters from the ship, a cry went up. Three warriors guarding the ramp dropped to their knees and hurled thud bugs. Time slowed for Anakin as he ignited his blade and brought it up to deflect them. Trees snapped against the bright blade and arced off on divergent tangents as embers. None of them struck Anakin, but Rapung grunted as if hit. He didn't slow, however. They rammed the three guards like a thunder front and sprang up the landing ramp into another hail of thudbugs. This time, Anakin was not as fortunate. One of the things caromed off his thigh, and he dropped to one knee, blocking two more that would have opened his chest. Rapung yowled, twisted, and hit the ramp with a thud. Anakin struggled to rise.
"Stop, Jedi,"
a cold voice said. It was the commander. He stood next to Tahiri, with an amphistaff curled around her neck. His remaining three warriors gathered in front of him.
"Tahiri," Anakin said.
"That isn't my name," Tahiri told him.
"I am Reena Quad." "You're Tahiri, my best friend," Anakin said. "Whatever they've done to you, I know you remember me."
"You Jedi,"
the commander snapped.
"I know who you are. You are Anakin Solo, brother to Jason Solo, he who is so much desired by War Master Tsavong La. I wish to have your surrender. I wish to have you alive. If I do not get my wish, then the female will die."
"I'll go in her place," Anakin said, "of my own will, but you have to release her."
"How ridiculous," the commander said. "I will do nothing of the kind. Your decision will decide whether she lives or dies, nothing more. She is ours."
"Jedi," Vua Rapung croaked, rising shakily to his feet. "Remember your oath to me."
Anakin saw with dismay that Rapung had one hand stuffed into a gaping hole in his belly. What could he do? The commander would kill Tahiri. He was sure of that, and in his present condition he would never be able to stop it. But if he surrendered, he betrayed Vua Rapung. Anakin put his hand on Rapung's shoulder.
"I remember my oath," he said. "Which one is she?"
"The female with the eight-fingered hand."
Anakin looked back up at the commander. "All right, this one thing, then. If you want me alive, compel the shaper named Mejan Quad to speak the truth."
"About what?"
"The questions Vua Rapung will put to her."
"There is no sense in listening to any demented lies from this one," Mejan Quad said. "He fights by the side of a Jedi infidel. What more need be said?"
Behind them, the square was gradually filling with warriors and onlookers. A shout came from below.
"Do you fear the truth, Mejan Quad? If he is mad, then compelling you to speak will do you no harm."
Anakin looked over his shoulder and saw the warrior who had stopped them the first day. Hul Rapung, Vua's brother. A general murmur of approval went around with that.
"How many of you fought with him?"
Hul continued.
"Whoever questioned the courage of Vua Rapung? Whoever doubted the gods loved him? Having found one treachery in Mejan Quad, the treachery of heresy, I see no reason to doubt she is capable of others."
The commander turned to the Shaper Master.
"Master Mejan Quad, I compel you to answer truthfully whatever questions the shamed one once known as Domain Rapung puts to you."
"I will not submit to any such indignity," Mejan Quad replied.
"You do not have the right to refuse, and your domain will pay the full price if you attempt to."
Mejan Quad's eyes glittered curiously, and she lifted her chin. She bared her teeth contemptuously at Vua Rapung.
"Ask your questions, shamed one."
"I have but one," Vua Rapung said. "Mejan Quad, did you intentionally give me the appearance of being shamed? Did you do this to me, or did the gods?"
Mejan Quad stared at him with an unreadable expression, then lifted her chin even higher.
"There are no gods," she said. "This miserable thing you are is what I made of you."
The crowd erupted in frenzy. Mejan Quad spread her eight fingers as if waving. Faster than the eyes could catch, those fingers elongated, spearing out. Before the commander could even blink, one went through his eye and out the back of his skull. The warriors all around dropped without a sound, similarly murdered. Anakin lurched forward, but a flick of the shaper's wrist and one of the finger spears pierced his forearm and wrapped around it. Torment contracted every muscle in Anakin's body, and his lightsaber went clattering down the landing ramp. Vua Rapoon fell from a similar wound in the leg. He flopped next to Anakin, a confused expression on his face. His lips were wet with blood.
Jedi,
he croaked, but his words drowned in a fit of hacking. The crowd, led by Hull Rapung, had started up the ramp. Mejan Quad turned to her assistant.
Nen Yim, drag those two on board.
She motioned toward Anakin and the fading Vua Rapung. The younger shaper hesitated, then started toward Anakin. She stopped when she saw Anakin's lightsaber floating up from behind him. Mejan Quad saw it too. Tahiri plucked the blade from the air and ignited it with a snap hiss. Mejan Quad's expression froze with the sudden, fatal understanding that it hadn't been Anakin levitating the weapon at all. Then Tahiri decapitated her. Tahiri stood for a moment, looking at what she had done, and smiled.
Tahiri,
Anakin managed. She let the point of the blade drop so it was almost stroking his cheek.
My friend,
she said, her voice low and weird.
My best friend, you left me.
Her eyes were wrong. They were the same color they had always been, but they had once been warm, full of laughter. Now they were chlorine ice.
I've been trying to find you, Anakin said. You aren't real,
Tahiri said.
None of this is. You are a lie.
He held her gaze and saw the bleakness there, the seeds of his vision beginning to take root.
It's not a lie, Tahiri. You are my best friend. I love you.
The blade stroked off a lock of his hair, but he didn't flinch.
I love you,
he repeated. Tahiri closed her eyes, and when she opened them again, they became the green eyes he knew. Or almost.
Anakin, are you really?
She looked around as if noticing the crowd for the first time.
Well, this doesn't look good, she observed.
Anakin saw what she meant. The warriors in the crowd had come to the forefront. Armed to the teeth, they stood watching the strange spectacle only meters away. They wouldn't just watch for long.
We have to get out of here, Anakin said.
And this is your plan? Tahiri asked, in something like her old voice.
Can I have that back?
Anakin asked softly, motioning toward his lightsaber. She looked as if she would say no, but then shrugged and handed it to him.
Sure, it's your blade.
Anakin took the weapon, stood shakily, and faced the gathered warriors. Hull Rapung raised his ampostaff to guard.
Jedi, you have proven yourself a great warrior. It will be my honor to kill you.
No,
a voice from behind Anakin grated. Impossibly, Vua Rapung rose to his feet. He took an ampostaff from one of the dead guards.
No. While I live, none of you shall fight the Jedi.
Vua Rapung, his brother said. We all heard what Mejan Quad said. You are shamed no longer.
I was never shamed. But now you know it is a warrior you face.
Vua Rapung, no,
Anakin said. Rapung turned to him.
I will die soon. I am able to give you only a small chance. Take it, now.
He turned back to the crowd.
A salute to the Jedi,
he shouted.
A salute of blood.
With that, he leapt at the front rank of warriors, ampostaff spinning. His first blow struck his brother, knocking him unconscious but still alive. The others he attacked with much more lethal precision.
Anakin, Tahiri said. Into the ship, he shouted. Can you fly it? Tahiri asked. We'll worry about that once we figure out how to get the boarding ramp up. They ducked inside the hatch and started searching frantically for some sort of control. This is hopeless, Tahiri said. Anakin ran his hands over the spongy interior of the ship. Tahiri was right. If they couldn't even get the ramp up, what chance did he have of flying the stupid thing? He saw Vua Rapung die. Already surrounded by a pile of corpses, his feet were trapped, forcing him to fight without footwork. An amphistaff struck Rapung a downward blow in the neck and came out the small of his back. He dropped his own amphistaff down like a blaster bolt and crushed the skull of the one who had wounded him before collapsing. Then the other warriors were on him, amphistaffs slashing, surging past him up the ramp. Oh! Tahiri exclaimed. Tsidao Ponsi! The ramp sucked in, out from under the feet of the charging warriors, and the hatch shut. You'll have to know how to talk to it, I guess, Tahiri said. She'd tried to say it lightly, but it was almost a parody of her old self. She knew it, too. Tears brimmed her eyes. They put things in my head, Anakin. I don't know what's real anymore. He reached for her shoulder. I'm real, and I'm going to get you out of this. Believe me. She folded into him, suddenly, and his arms went around her without him even telling them to. She felt warm and small and good against him. Then his wounded leg refused to support him any longer. They cut part of Tahiri's garment to make a tourniquet. The living fabric worked even better than anticipated, because after the shock of being severed, it contracted, perhaps dying. They found the controls just as the craft rocked to a tremendous blast. Boy, that didn't take long, Anakin said. I wonder why they didn't just open the hatch. I sealed it, Tahiri said. It won't listen to anyone outside. How do you know? I just do. The ship rocked again, and several of the patches emitted a dull phosphorescence, which probably indicated damage to something or other. The walls became transparent as another concussion set the ship quivering. Anakin could now see what was causing this. Another ship, also grounded, was firing on them with one of its plasma weapons. Okay, Tahiri murmured, her fingers caressing the various nerve nodes. Let's see what... Yow! The ship jumped off the ground like a flea keel from a hot pan. Anakin gasped and then whooped, slapping Tahiri on the back. We'll do this yet, he shouted. Let's burn out of here. Which way? Any way, just go! The Domutech suddenly blurred away beneath them. Not bad, Anakin said. Now, if you can figure out how the weapons work... Tahiri shrieked suddenly. What's wrong? Anakin asked. It's in my head. The ship's talking to me and it's telling me to turn back. In another second it would have had me. This isn't good, Anakin said, watching the ground rush up. By the time they found the hatch and crawled out, Anakin could hear the drone of another Yuuzhan Vong ship approaching. Tahiri, he said, run for it. I'll just slow you down with this leg. No, Tahiri said simply. Please, I came all this way to rescue you. It can't have been for nothing. Tahiri brushed his cheek with her hand. It wasn't for nothing, she said. I know we used to be in everything together. I know if this is the end, there's nobody I would rather be standing with. I know that we can still make them sorry they ever tried to mess with the two of us. She took his hand. Anakin gripped it back. Okay, he conceded. Together. It didn't take the ship long to find them. They hadn't made it more than a kilometer beyond the river. Tahiri touched Anakin in the Force, tentatively, and for the first time, he really felt what they had done to her. The pain and confusion, the sickening nightmare sense of unreality. He poured his sympathy and strength back into her, and the bond strengthened.
and as she gripped his fingers tighter, as he finally surrendered the last of his barriers against her, against them, the force blew through him like a hurricane. Tahiri laughed. It was not a child's laugh.
"Together, you are stronger than the sum of your parts,"
Ikrit had said.
"Together."
They wrenched a 1,000-year-old Masasi tree out of the ground and launched it straight up. By the time it struck the Yuuzhan'vong ship, it was traveling as fast as a speeder. It smacked into the Dubin basal and splintered, twisting the ship half around. Another tree jerked out of the ground, and another. One of the trees rammed into the cannon structure, and flame burst out all along one side of the ship. The ship wobbled, and molten fire dripped from its ruined weapon. It was still there, and there were plenty more. Still, Anakin gripped Tahiri's hand. "Together," he said. Then the air above them shrieked and strode, and sharp lines of red light carved into the Yuuzhan'vong ship, which by then was a corpse hurtling to the ground. Anakin looked up, mouth open. Another ship was descending, a ship made of metal and ceramic, not living coral. It was Ramus Venn's battered transport, and it was the most beautiful thing Anakin had ever seen. It dropped on repulsor lifts, and the hatch swung open. Coral stuck his head out.
"What are you waiting for?"
the old man shouted.
"Come aboard!"
Talon Card followed the pinpoint on the scanner with a raptor gaze. "What do you see?" Kam Solasar asked. "Long-range sensors tell us some sort of transport just broke the atmosphere of Yavin 4," Card told him. "Only moments ago, I felt an incredible surge in the Force," Solasar said. "I'm sure Anakin was involved, and I think Tahiri as well." "Can you feel them now? Are they on that transport?" Card asked. After a brief pause, Kam Solasar said, "Yes, they are." Card turned to his crew. "This looks like what we've been waiting for, people. If there are any doubts about this course of action, I need to hear them now." Silence, as he swept his gaze around the bridge and the screens depicting the captains of his other ships.
"When have we ever not been with you, Captain?"
Shada asked from the idiot's array. A chorus of cheers punctuated Shada's remark. Card's chest tightened with pride. "All right, people," he said. "Let's go to work." A series of bleeps and whistles greeted Anakin as he came aboard the transport. "Hey, Fiver," he said. "I'm glad to see you, too." "Get back to work, you lazy little droid," Venn snapped over his shoulder from the pilot's seat. "So, Venn, what's the plan?" Anakin asked. "Fly real fast until we get away." "That's it? Hey, I'm improvising. You gonna complain about me saving your butt?" "No," Anakin said. "I was thinking about thanking you. Now I'm not so sure." Anakin looked at the starfield. He was weak, very weak. But he thought he felt something. "Give me long-range sensors," he said. "Sorry, no can do. We were working on those when the creepy twins back there told me they felt you needed help. We cut the repair short and hot-jetted it." "Sana, Valen," Anakin said, gesturing them forward. "Concentrate. Do you feel something out there?" "Sure. Kam Solasar is out there." Valen studied the space around him for a moment, then pointed at around 90 degrees. "There." "I suggest you set course where Valen tells you. Otherwise, we're going to end up as star food." "Well," Ben said, "the little creeps have been right so far today." Anakin started to take the co-pilot seat, but Ben placed his hand in it. "That's Coral's," he said.
"I'll give it up," Coral said. "Every solo I've ever known was a better pilot than me."
"Don't be silly," Anakin said. "Even if that were true, you're in better shape than I am."
Thank you both. You came through for Tahiri and me when you could have just run.
Are you kidding? And have the little creeps back there slag my brain?
Ben said.
Anyway, Coral reminded them, we're not out of this yet.
True, Anakin said, but we're a lot nearer than we were.
Speaking of which, we're going to have words with some Vong in about half an hour, Ben said.
They're catching up that fast?
No, these are already out here.
I'll take the turret gun, Anakin said.
Right. Give them an argument at least, Ben said.
The transport has been engaged by Vong, sir,
Hisishi reported.
They've taken a few hits, but they're still coming right for us.
How soon? Card asked.
If we plot a straight course, less than 20 minutes. But if we do that, we'll be perfect targets for the blockade that's forming up down there.
Yes, but if we go around, we'll never reach them before that destroyer analog. Duncan, plot it straight in and have the Idiot's Array, the Demise, and the Etherway escort us.
Anakin watched a coral skipper spin off to port. It was the destroyer analog coming in from above starboard that bothered him. That and the fact that they couldn't see much beyond it. For all they knew, there could be an entire Yuuzhan Vong fleet between him and Talon Card. If Card was there at all. Very soon, the destroyer was going to catch them. He hoped Ven had a few tricks up his sleeve.
Direct hit on the Idiot's Array, sir,
the Sishi reported. Shada, are you there? Card asked over the comm.
Still here, boss. They tickled us, but we can still keep up.
One more hit like that and you're ions, Card disagreed. Peel off, you've done enough.
Sorry, boss, can't hear you. Something wrong with my comm unit. Hang tight, we'll get you there.
He saw the Idiot's Array take her final hit, right through the engines. Plumes of plasma streamed from her.
Get out of there, Shada!
He shouted into the comm. No answer came.
The Idiot's Array is still keeping pace with that destroyer, sir,
Hisishi reported.
I don't understand it. Her engines are gone, and their reactor is building to critical.
She's got a tractor lock on them, Card said. She must have diverted all of her power.
An instant later, the Idiot's Array vanished in a sphere of pure white light, taking most of the Yuuzhan Vong destroyer with it. Shada, Card murmured again, feeling very tired. He'd lost more friends than enemies through the years, but somehow, of all the people he knew, he'd imagined that Shada would outlive him. One destroyer down, he gritted, and one to go.
We've just lost the Etherway, sir,
Hisishi said. Destroyed?
No, her power grid is down.
Then it's just us.
Yes. Sir, behind us.
Card saw the ship appear on the screen, and from sheer conditioning, his heart jumped up into his throat. And a weird disjunction of realities tugged at his sanity. The ship that had appeared, almost on top of them, was an Imperial Star Destroyer. A red Imperial Star Destroyer. Message, sir, Duncan said. Put it on. A bearded human face appeared.
Well, Card,
he growled.
I suppose I'll be pulling you out of this mess as well. I hope you have something appropriate to compensate me with.
Booster Terek?
None other.
I'm sure I can dig something out of my warehouses.
Never mind that. Where's my grandson?
We think he's on the transport that big Yuuzhan Vong ship's about to swallow.
That's all I wanted to know. See you on the other side, Card.
The other side of what?
The nebula I'm about to make.
In the rear turret, Anakin kept the turbolaser pumping steadily, digging plumes of molten Yorick coral from the destroyer analog.
Heads up back there!
Ben's voice crackled.
They're launching coral skippers. You'll have to keep them off, Solo. If I try to outrun them, we'll be sitting pretty for the destroyer.
Understood, Anakin replied. They came, but he couldn't shoot them all. The transport bucked and complained as molten plasma did its damage. An enemy shot got through Anakin's barrage, glancing from the cockpit, leaving hairline fractures on the transparent field. One more hit and I'm breathing vacuum, Anakin thought. He took out two skiffs, but then three dropped into a wedge headed straight for him. He took a deep, calming breath and began firing, but he knew he wasn't going to get them all. He wondered what it was going to feel like when his blood started boiling. He felt them in the force at the same time the coral skippers vanished in a searing white haze, and two X-Wings whipped around the expanding cloud of gas and molten coral. His comm crackled.
Need a hand, little brother?
Jaina!
This is some mess you've gotten us into, Anakin.
A masculine voice replied. Jason! Where? How?
Explanations later,
Jaina said.
Get out of there fast. We'll keep these pups off you. Corrin Horn's out here, too. I almost pity the Vaughn.
But if I clear...
Believe me,
Jaina said.
You'll want to be clear.
Anakin didn't see why until they were on the other side of the errant venture. By that time, the Yuuzhan Vong ship was blazing like a newborn star. Anakin stared through the transparasteel and grinned wide enough to swallow a crescent moon. Card wasn't grinning a standard day later when the remaining Yuuzhan Vong ships finally packed it in and jumped to hyperspace. He was watching the drifting ruins and grimly tallying his losses. Yes, he was getting too old for this nonsense.
Captain, message for you, sir,
Hisishi said. Put it on. A few seconds later, a lean, middle-aged face appeared. Corrin Horn, Card said. It's good to see you. I assume you were on your father-in-law's Star Destroyer?
When Jaina and Jason found us, yes. I was one of the X-Wings out there.
His face contorted briefly, then returned to a neutral expression.
Card, I want to thank you for saving my children. I know what it cost you.
No, you don't, Card thought. He didn't say it. You're welcome, he told Horn instead. When I make promises, I do my best to keep them.
We're alike in that,
Horn replied.
And I also pay my debts. I owe you a big one. This doesn't even come close to squaring us up. But I do have something for you.
What's that?
Someone, I should say.
Horn moved aside and was replaced by Shada Dukal's wry features. Shada!
Come on, Card,
Shada said.
You didn't think I was stupid enough to stay on a flaming ship, did you? Once I got the lock, we went for the escape pods. Horn ran across us in his X-Wing, doing a slow spiral toward the gas giant.
She squinted at the screen.
Hey, boss, what's wrong with your eye?
The air unit has been blowing dust in from somewhere, Card said, blinking away the suspicious moisture. Get your tail back over here so we can discuss how long it will take you to pay me back for the idiot's array. Shada rolled her eyes.
See you soon, boss.
Then, despite his losses, Talon Card did allow himself a small, quiet smile. Why not? They'd won. We never thought we'd find Booster, Jaina confessed, around a mouthful of food. When he doesn't want to be found, he can really disappear. What was he doing? Anakin asked. Running weapons to the hot underground, actually, Jaina replied. I just asked myself where Booster would go if he wanted to help the war effort and still turn a profit without feeling bad about it.
You're kidding. It didn't hurt that Corrin was with him, Jason said. We got hints of him in the Force. Jason's being modest, Jaina said. He spent a lot of time in deep meditation trying to find Corrin. It was no accident. That's pretty impressive, Anakin allowed. Thank you, Anakin, Jason said, as if surprised. His brow wrinkled in such a way that it made him look briefly very much like their father. Are you okay, Anakin? Anakin nodded. Yes, actually. In fact, better than okay. What do you mean? Jason asked, a little suspiciously. Anakin chewed thoughtfully for a moment. Up until now, he said, I had no way to think of the Yuuzhan Vong except as enemies. They are enemies, Jaina said. Yes, Anakin replied. So was the Empire. But Palpatine aside, it must have been possible for Mom and Dad and Uncle Luke to at least conceive of the people they were fighting as possible friends. In fact, that's how Uncle Luke destroyed the Emperor, right? He was able to imagine Darth Vader as his father, as a friend. The Yuuzhan Vong, well, to be frank, I didn't even want to conceive of them that way. But I have a deeper understanding than I did. I can think of them as people now, and that makes a difference. Jason nodded. Does that mean you've decided not to fight them anymore? Anakin blinked. Are you kidding? We have to fight them, Jason. I have to fight them. I just know more about how to do it now. Jason's frown was fully developed. Are you sure that's the right lesson to take away from all this? He asked. No offense, Jason, but I think I'll leave off worrying about what lesson I might have learned if I'd been someone else. Because frankly, if I'd been someone else, I don't think I would have survived to learn any lesson. Tell Booster we're going to have to evacuate the ship, Jaina said. The way Anakin's head is expanding, it'll split through the hull in no time. Believe it or not, Anakin replied, I don't say what I just said with pride. I'm just stating a fact. Don't forget who pulled your butt out of the fire there at the end, Jaina replied. Anakin let a grin creep across his face. But that's what I meant, don't you see? When I said that no one but me could have survived what I did. Because no one else in the galaxy has you two for his brother and sister. He picked up his tray, trying not to laugh at their gaping mouths. Now, if you'll excuse me, he said, I have someone I need to go see. Anakin found Tahiri's stateroom door open a crack. Through it, he saw her lying on her bed, bare feet propped up on the wall. Anakin rapped the door. Hi, he said. Hi, come in if you want. He took a seat on the edge of the bed. You didn't show up for dinner. I thought I would bring you some. He placed a food container on the bed. Thanks, Tahiri said. She turned her head and for the first time met his gaze. What happened to it? She asked. The Shaper base. Well, Booster pretty much slagged it. Card and his people evacuated the slaves. We're going to drop them off someplace. Of course, the Yuuzhan Vong can come back, I guess, since we left the system pretty much without defenses, but there's nothing we can do about that. No, Tahiri said. There isn't. I guess that's the end of the Academy. Of course it isn't. The Academy was never a place. It's an idea. We're just taking it on jets. Booster's going to let the Academy kids stay on the errant venture. He'll make random jumps around the galaxy until it's safe to settle the kids down someplace. Safe? Tahiri hissed. How can it ever be safe? How can anything ever be... Her words seemed to clot in her throat, and she turned back to the view of space. Tahiri, I know how you feel, Anakin said. She closed her eyes, and two small tears squeezed from the corners. If anyone does, I guess you do, she said after a moment. They watched the stars in silence for a while. Where will you go now? Tahiri asked when the silence was too thin. Back out to fight the Yuuzhan Vong? Eventually. I want to go with you. That's why I said eventually. I'm staying on here for a while, until you've healed, until I've healed. Then, if you still want to go, we go. Together.
Adept Nen Yim, step forth.
Nen Yim bowed and then stood before the War Master, Sabong La.
Master Yalfoth claims that your master conspired in heresy, and that any results you obtained were stained by ungodliness.
Master Yalfoth is a respected shaper. So was Mejan Quad. She was never able to answer these charges, and I may not speak for her. But I tell you this, War Master. What we learned from the Jedi was valuable. It has worth to the Yuuzhan Vong. The records in the Dumutech were destroyed, and my master is dead. Only I remain to remember.
This was badly bungled by shapers and warriors alike. If Tsak Vota were not dead, I would kill him myself. And I should have you sacrificed.
If death is my lot, War Master, I embrace it. But I repeat, what we learned of the Jedi here ought not to perish with me. Give me at least a chance to record what I know in a worldship Kasa.
The War Master's cruel eyes did not waver.
You will have that chance. Do not squander it, as your master did.
And if more Jedi are captured, will our work shaping them resume?
Your domain has failed. They will not be given a second chance with the Jedi. Domain Fath will continue the work on the Jedi problem.
Then it will never be solved,
Nen Yim thought to herself. Back to masters so mired in the old ways, they would rather let the Yuuzhan Vong perish than contemplate change. So be it. But in her heart, Nen Yim still considered Mejan Quad her master. Nen Yim would continue the work they had begun, somehow. It was too important. And if Nen Yim must die for this, she must. The glorious heresy would live on.
I submit to your will, War Master.
Nen Yim lied.
One other thing before you go,
Sabong La said.
You hid, shamefully, among the shamed ones before the reoccupation force arrived. Have you heard of a new heresy amongst the shamed ones concerning the Jedi?
I have, War Master.
Explain it to me.
There is a certain admiration for them, War Master. Many feel that Vua Rapung was redeemed from shamed status by the Jedi Solo. Many feel their own redemption lies not in prayer to Yun Shuno, but in the Jedi.
This heresy will die on this moon, said the War Master. If every shamed one here must perish in glorious sacrifice, it will end here.
Nen Yim nodded affirmation, but in her bones she knew the truth. Repression was the favored food of heresy.
This is Alexander Adams. We hope you have enjoyed this production of Star Wars, The New Jedi Order, Edge of Victory 1, Conquest, by Greg Keyes. This program was produced by David Rapkin and directed by Charles Potter. Executive producer, Orly Moskowitz. Abridgment by David Smith. Star Wars, The New Jedi Order, Edge of Victory 1, Conquest, is a production of Lucasfilm Limited. Copyright 2001. All rights reserved. Used under authorization. Music composed by John Williams. Music publishing by Warner Tamerlane Publishing Corporation and Bantha Music. Music Master Production, copyright 2001, Lucasfilm Limited. This has been a Random House audiobooks presentation. All rights reserved.